Welcome back to Super Tathis for Parshas Miketz. Let's start with some of the very Torah now. The famous question is, why didn't Yosef reveal who he was to his brothers right away and instead cause them tsar? So a handful of answers. The first is the Ramban. The Ramban wanted to make sure that the nevuah, he had some nevuahs before from those dreams, and he wanted to make sure that they came true. There is indeed an approach in the Balei Tosfos that says there was a good reason also that Yosef wouldn't tell his father that he was alive when he first had the opportunity, since there was a cherem that the brothers made on anybody who revealed this secret. So that's in the Das Zakenim. There are other Balei Tosfos say that since the brothers sold him, they made a shavua for him not to go back to his father's house, so and not to say that what had happened, so that was why he wouldn't also tell this as well. That's in the Rivash. There's an additional approach in the Tosfos HaSholim that says Yosef didn't tell his father that he was alive because Yosef said, "My father's an Avi. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to know, he would know." The Or Chaim gives a couple of tirutzim as well. The first one is that he was afraid that the brothers were going to do something bad to him again, meaning maybe they were ready to go after him or to impair him. And the second one is this chazal that says, "Mutav lo la'adam shiyapil atzmo l'toch kivshan ha'esh v'al yalbinis pnei chavir l'rabim," meaning the possibility of embarrassing somebody is such a horrible act that he was concerned that he was willing to hold it back in order to not embarrass his brothers. There's an additional approach that's found in the Tosfos HaSholim that says that Yosef decided to hold back this from his brothers, actually to give them a kapara so that the pain could be a kapara. And that's the last of the reasons that I will provide. But there's also a beautiful idea, a lot of different svarim of all the mita keneged mita that happens here. So they hated him and couldn't speak to him peaceably. So that's why he spoke kashos to them. They threw him into a boar, and because of that, they were put into jail. That when Shimon physically threw him into a boar, that's why he put on this extra onesh where he took Shimon and put him and tied him up in front of everyone. And that they had been gonev Yosef. It says, ganuv gnuvasim eretz ha'ivrim. For this reason, he brought them the tsar of the Geneva with the whole maisa with the chalice. And when they sold him to be an Eved, so the same sort of thing with this chalice story happened. Everybody was in a chashash avdus. He says, hinenu avadim la'aduni. So that's all the mita keneged mita that happens in the story.
On to a couple of Rav Meir Simchas. There is a famous medrash that says that because of the fact that Yosef said Zachartani and he's Kirtani, those words gave him an extra 2 years in the Beis HaSohar. So the question is, why is it that, you know, Chazal are so extraordinarily focused on the fact that two words got him in, you know, got him in that time. And it says for Meir Simcha, the Torah is teaching us the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with such hashgacha, because Yosef was supposed to be finding his way to the Malchus and working his way to become the viceroy. And the means for him to be able to become that viceroy was that he needed to learn the ways that princes and kings act in that country. So for him to be able to do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to jail with the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, and all they talked about is what was going on in Paro's house, so he could learn all of the customs and the hanhagos that were happening there and be prepared for his rise to Gedula. And it was only by virtue of the fact that he put some bitachon in them that it ended up that he had to spend those extra 2 years. So this is not very dissimilar to the idea of the besamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything b'mid of a mishkol mechuvan, and that we need to be very, very attuned to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something, and even though we don't always understand and appreciate why, there's an extraordinary, deep, and perfect chachma there. Another similar vein, when the Sarah Mashkim says, Eschata ayani mazkir hayom, says, I'm declaring my sin today, or reminding you of my sin today. So it could have been that Paro was gratuitously doubting the Sarah Mashkim, and he didn't really know why he found his way into the boar. But when all of a sudden he hears this dream, and Yosef resolves it, and he interprets it, if that's true, all of the things that Paro had done were from a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from his hashgacha. And if that's true, his trip to the Beis HaAsurim was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it must have been, the Sarah Mashkim understood, that whatever he did was indeed an Aveira, and he did do something wrong to get down to the boar. Look the way that things had happened. Another interesting thing is Yosef's wife is Osnas Bas Potiphera, and that name Potiphera sounds a lot like Potiphar. So the Meshech Chochma goes out and says, it is possible that it was the intention of Paro that the Mitzrim would not speak disgracefully about Yosef. And the people who could create the greatest rabble-rousing were the people who were involved in getting him thrown in the boar to begin with. So, or pardon, the Beis HaSohar. So that was the greatest source of the jealousy and the fighting and everything. And they could really create a rebellion in Mitzrayim if Yosef was given to power. So that is precisely why Paro gave Osnas Bas Potiphera for his wife. So that was the idea, and somehow that worked. A very interesting problem and question is raised in the Netzivos in Mem Aleph Aleph. There's a medrash that says, Mem Aleph Yud Gimel, there's a gemara in Brachos that says that kol ha-chalamos holchin achar ha-peh, meaning when somebody has a dream, they seem to follow however people seem to resolve and interpret them. And we learn there's a number of dreams of Abaye and Rava that kind of go in that direction. And there's a Tshuvas HaRashba, Simin Tavches, that asks the following questions. How could it be that a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a gezeira, he makes a decree, and all of a sudden somebody interprets it, and the hanhaga of the world is going to follow that because of the way somebody interprets it? So the Nesivos says, look, the real way for you to appreciate dreams is that a dream has a little bit of a nevuah. And the Rambam in the Morna Vuchim Chelek Beis Mem Hei talks about many, many different levels of nevuah. And perhaps that means that when somebody is interpreting a dream, it is possible to know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu showed in this nevuah only through a dream. And that's one kind of nevuah. And just like somebody with their intelligence can
can comprehend something. Sometimes there's somebody who's very, very intelligent that they can get something on their own, and sometimes it's not that, you know, they're not that sharp, but when they get a little bit of a remez, they can understand everything, and that's the way it goes with nevuah. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah is this, it could be like an aha moment. All of a sudden, everything just comes like a light bulb. And sometimes nevuos, it's a situation where they're not going to really know the future. However, when somebody tells them like the Rashi Prakim, or they get some exogenous thing, then they're going to understand what's happening. And that's not so often. There's a Gemara Brachos that says that there were like only 24 people who could interpret dreams. And we shouldn't be necessarily so concerned that the other nations can have potri chalamos, as it says in Shas, because the Ramban says in Parshas Re'eh that even Rishoyim could possibly know. And now we can understand a little bit more, right? So there can be an aha moment and all these other things. So there is another Rambam, and we've mentioned this before, that anything that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has in their machshava can change from bad to good, or good to bad. But what comes from a Navi can't change. Okay, we learned this in Rav Meir Simcha a few parshios ago. But this means that when somebody interprets a dream, it is from a Navi, and then it can't change. So that's why we say, Kol ha-chalomos hochen ha-charapeh, meaning when it comes from a Navi, then all of a sudden it's going to go that way. That's why when you go to a person to interpret, you go to an ohev to interpret it. You want to go to somebody who is a friend, a companion, and they're going to interpret because they're more likely to interpret it. Letova.
Okay, since it's Hanukkah, I will focus on a Hanukkah gift that was given, Mivchar HaPninim by Ibn Gabirol. It is Lahavdil Elef Havdolos. It's very short sayings. It's not like a tweet, but in some ways it's like a pre-tweet. It's a short saying almost in the style of Pirkei Avos, but there's a lot of depth here. And I was first exposed to this as it's quoted in the Igeres HaGra, and then you see in Rabbeinu Yonah's Pirushan Mishlei, it seems to be quoted a bit, and all of a sudden you realize that the Rishonim put a lot of weight into what he says. So I want to know more. I'm looking at the first one. Amar HaChacham. Chacham says, Ki Chachamim B'Chochma Mashlimim Gmul HaBore. So when wise people are wise, through Chochma, Chochma is the Chochma HaTorah, they will complete Gmul HaBore. Now, Gmul is often understood as recompense. I'm looking at Sefer HaMaspik, it sounds like it almost carries a double meaning. Mashlim Gmul HaBore 1 means that through your Chochma, you can comprehend greater the Chesed Hashem did for you. And the second element is through your Chochma, you can get involved in Imitat Yodei, V'halachta B'drachav, understand the way Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the world to be, and participate more in that vein. U'magia Adam La'avodas HaKel B'chayav will allow you to do your Avodas Hashem in your life. U'l'shem Tov Achar Moso, and you will get a good name after you leave this world.
Now for a couple quick Maisei Rav pieces. The first one, they're all really from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. There was a question about
about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish didn't sing most Sur, apparently. So they asked him, why was the Chazon Ish, why didn't he sing? Is that the way he was supposed to? He said, the Chazon Ish didn't have like a sense or a vibe for music, so he didn't do it. But my father, the Stipler, did it. So, you know, no problem. If it's a beautiful nigun, go ahead. And he also added, interestingly, that the Stipler apparently was a chazan in Pinsk for a number of years when he needed some needed some revenue. Moreover, he said something very interesting, is that the Stipler, when he learned on Shabbos, had a different nigun just for the Gemara. So that that I thought was very, very interesting. And they asked, like, was this intentional? And the response was, no, it's just the way that it came out. So that I thought was very, very fascinating. One more question that came out was, apparently everybody in Brisk lit Hanukkah candles like the minig of the Ramah. And that minig was that they would light inside, not at the, you know, the openings and whatnot, not like the minig in Eretz Yisrael is. Everybody except for the Brisker Rav. Reb Chaim Brisker would not do it. So it was Reb Chaim Brisker. And he said, well, you know, part of the motivation was the matzav in the areas, that the neighbors weren't as friendly and whatnot. They're worried about the Sona Yisrael. So they said, well, if the Brisker Rav did it, then why shouldn't we all do it? And the response was, tell whoever was concerned about this, at least the way the Ruchaim Konievsky said, that the reason why he did it is because he had the shmira of being the Rav Ha'ir. So the normative practice should be that people, Ashkenazim, should follow the minhag of the Ramah. Thank you for learning with me. Have a great Shabbos.